It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Global uncertainty is starting to show up in the markets. From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. U.S. markets opened down this morning, reflecting global jitters over several ongoing geopolitical threats, rising tensions between the U.S. and Russia over Syria, between the U.S. and China over trade and North Korea, plus upcoming elections in multiple countries. For a check on how politics are influencing the markets, I'm joined now by Lindsay Piegg. She's chief economist and managing director at Stifel Nicolaus. And Lindsay, we're hearing a lot about these geopolitical risks weighing on the market. What are you seeing?
The market seems to be directing their focus away from the underlying economic reports as of late, really paying attention to what's happening abroad. Of course, we have geopolitical tensions rising from North Korea, the events occurring in Syria, but we also have the expected uncertainty surrounding scheduled events such as the German election and the French election.
The markets seem to have had a lot of optimism recently, and it seems that this is starting to temper that. So how is this going to translate into what the markets are doing moving forward?
If we look at just the economic data, it has been very modest as of late. So it's taken these other extraneous events, geopolitical tensions, as we just spoke about, to really temper the market's expectations. Now, that being said, if the market does continue to focus on these events abroad, we could see increased volatility in the equity markets. We could see energy prices continue to buoy higher. And of course, when we talk about uncertainty and big question marks, that does cause consumers and businesses to sit on the sidelines, something that will simply exacerbate the very modest conditions in terms of top-line activity that we've seen in the U.S. economy across the first 3 months of the year.
Lindsay Piegza is chief economist and managing director at Stifel Nicolaus. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
The Japanese industrial giant Toshiba has warned about its future as a going concern as it published its overdue financial results. The company reported a loss approaching $5 billion in the last 9 months of 2016 due to problems at the U.S. nuclear power business it owns, Westinghouse. BBC economics correspondent Andrew Walker filed this for us.
The publication of Toshiba's financial results has twice been postponed as it struggled to assess the financial damage done by delays and cost overruns at the nuclear business in the US. It has finally managed to make an announcement, but those figures have not been approved by the company's auditors. That's thought to be unprecedented for a major Japanese company, and the speculation that it might lead to the shares being taken off the Tokyo Stock Exchange. Toshiba was already trying to recover from an accounting scandal in which its profits had been overstated by a total of $1 billion. The company's trying to reinforce its finances by selling assets, and it has received a new offer for its computer chip business from Foxconn, the Taiwanese firm best known as a contract manufacturer whose clients include Apple.
Andrew, thanks. Foxconn is reportedly offering up to $27 billion for that segment of Toshiba's business. Our David Brancaccio is on the road this week reporting on jobs that machines can't easily replace. With machines, machine learning, and other software doing more work, some economists argue automation may be the key issue facing American workers, perhaps eclipsing globalization. So we're also trying to bring in the robot point of view here. David went looking for a machine or software to serve as a sidekick for his road trip to gauge the progress of this technology and better understand and how human the machines are becoming. Today, David visits Redwood City, California.
He, she, it is called Kuri, K-U-R-I. That's how it speaks, no words.
Kuri's an adorable robot who looks a little bit like an intergalactic space penguin.
Kuri's creator, Sarah Osentoski, engineer and chief operating officer at Mayfield Robotics, owned by the German company Bosch. Kuri is knee-high, with a nodding and swiveling head, with big dark eyes but no mouth. The arms are just suggestions, permanently glued to its sides.
And she blinks, and she turns her head, and she pays attention to things.
Kuri's equipped with facial recognition and can travel around the house beaming video to you remotely if you're away. It can play back music, audiobooks.
So she can be an audio companion, so she can play NPR for you in the morning when you're getting ready and follow you throughout the house.
Never escape the Marketplace Morning Report with Kuri dogging your heels. Also, there's an app that turns Kuri into a cheeky mobile alarm clock that sneaks into the sleepy kid's room and goes, keep me away on a road trip, I suppose, and it would fit into a booster seat next to me. But the key thing about Kuri, it's not going to replace a human and is actively engineered to remind users of its lack of sophistication.
So when you start to have something that drives around your house and like expresses emotions, you have a lot of expectations about how smart she might be. So we want to set expectations that Kuri's more like maybe a medium smart dog at best and less like a person, like a kid.
Alas, Kuri won't be ready until the holidays this year, so no road trip for this robot. You'll be able to hear more of our auditions for Robot Sidekick for the road trip we're doing. That's a journey in search of which human jobs have the best chance in the face of all the machines and software entering the workforce. If you missed that on the air, it's in the Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed. From the road, I'm David Brancaccio for Marketplace.
Head over to marketplace.org/robotproof to see a picture of Kuri and hear the rest of our coverage. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.